Welcome to the Fearless Podcast. In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. All right, y'all, welcome back to the Fearless Podcast, and we are already at episode 8, and we appreciate all y'all and the interaction. And I got my great friend Chuck on today, and I had a comment over on the Fountain app. Y'all, check us out on the Fountain app. We can interact, and we will. We love taking your questions. This question comes from Poboy. Great episode. It's interesting hearing about your investing experience. I look forward to hearing more options for protecting and accumulating wealth. And this is the reason why I wanted to have Chuck on today to talk to y'all about investing, options, assets, accumulation, capitalization, capitalism. You know, because at one point in time here in America, we were a capitalist country. And then once the gold standard was removed and we were kind of demonetized, remonetized, which we'll see very shortly here in the near future how all that goes down, because it's happening again. It's my opinion that we're no longer a capitalist country because we're exclusively debt-based. And that creates problems like hyperinflation and all these different things. And that's the kind of stuff that me and Chuck are going to be talking about today. Hey, Chuck, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, man, I am great. I am great. Kind of broadcasting here from Lockhart, Texas, barbecue capital of the world. Anyway, you like barbecue, come on down. I'll meet up with y'all. So great to be here. Great entree there, TD. Yeah, you know, times are a-changing, and the same old, same old. What you always did, maybe not a good idea to stick with the standard. We're just going to wait it out, and we're going to wait for things to return to normal. Hmm. You know, I don't think, you know, normal is a setting on your dryer, man. But in this,
<That's right. laughs>
in this culture, normal is not going to work because the rules are changing. COVID had a lot to do with kind of setting this up, I think. They've weakened the backbone of the American man and woman. They're trying to take families apart. It's stupid. And we can't do stupid. We got to do aft and agile and quick and change with what's going on. So I want to kind of set that platform. You know, you talked about investments. I'll go through sort of a way to set up some safe money to use and wait a little while for these prices to settle down. Of course, not every market in the countries like Texas, we're still way over the rainbow on price, price structure on empty land or residential and some commercial. But I think there'll be opportunities out there, but you got to prepare for it. So most of us, we wind up looking at the other guy and saying, man, how did he do that? How did he get that done? It's like, well, he prepared. He saved up some capital. He stood back and watched what was going on. Try to understand the times, if you will. We're encouraged biblically to do that, and knew what to do. So it's not enough just to hoard your money. I mean, money, making money takes money. Cash flow is king. Protect Your Money Now, my new book, protectyourmoneynow.net. If you go to protectyourmoneynow.net, you will get a free copy of my new book, and it'll take you through the banking crisis. It'll take you through how to capitalize something different. We call it private family banking. That's my company. I'm a partner with that company, I should say. And we help people set up for the future, not only the long term. We set up for both the agile move, this sort of stealth move you want to make once this market shifts, probably quite a bit more. So now's the time to prepare. So I was listening to a guy, and we're talking real estate. And, you know, I did one of these and I didn't realize it. How in the coming times, I think these opportunities were coming up, but I did one with another guy and I didn't even know this was possible. Just an example of something you could do. And I'm not suggesting you're going to find one of these on the next street corner, but if you know how to search real estate and you know how to find out who's underwater, I mean, this happened in the 08 crash, right? And who knows if we're headed that way. A lot of people are maybe feeling overextended, right? Already, because they bought a house and paid $80,000 or $90,000 over list price, over sale, or you know, the listing price. And now, you know, they're not going to be able to dump that now. So they, those, some of these people may have to move. They may have to change. Maybe their job change. So there's some opportunities. But many people don't know you can actually buy a property. It's called subject to. And subject to means subject to the underlying mortgage. And I did this with my broker up in Michigan when I bailed out of that Michigan maniac place before that stupid governor took over up there. She's a nutcase, man. Mm-hmm. Talk about a communist in flesh. And so, but when that market was dying right before 08, I sold my home. What happens is you write a contract between you and the seller. And so we're kind of out before we get into how to collect capital and keep it in a safe money system. Let me paint that vision for one thing you could do. You go out and find somebody who's behind on their payments before it goes to the tax sale, which you're going to compete against everybody else. You find them, you meet with that buyer, you gain a seller, you gain a little trust between you. You say, look, I'll pay your three back mortgage payments or your six. I'll take over the house. Just sign the deed over to me. And they'll say, well, wait a minute. Don't we have to pay off the mortgage? No, you don't have to. Now, there's a due on sale clause, but I know a guy that did 10,000 deals and only had 10 come back to him. And he fought every one of them with the bank, even Wells Fargo. And they eventually agreed not to do a due on sale clause, which means they're calling the note. Yep. So you can do a subject to. I've done one. And I'm going to start looking for them. I'm going to start finding out who's in arrears. And before they get so underwater that they let it go to the tax sale, and then you're bidding against people on the courthouse steps, and the house is usually run down or whatever, you take it over. You put a renter in there. You pay their mortgage payment. So my guy, he paid my mortgage off in 5 years. I signed the deed over to him. So I kept the mortgage in my name so we didn't have to go through any paperwork. I paid off the note. And every time he gave me a double payment, I double paid it. So I agreed with him verbally that I would pay the mortgage. If he paid me fast, I would pay the mortgage off as fast. I didn't have to do that. I wasn't under contract to do that. I could have pocketed the extra money or used it for expenses or whatever else. But I thought it was smart to do. I wanted to get rid of the note anyway. That's just a key idea. You know, not everybody's interested in real estate, but this is a way to conserve cash. So for no money down, you could get a piece of property. Sign the guy signs the deed to you. You might have to catch him up on payments, or maybe he just, you know, wants to bail it out. You maybe you give him some cash between the buyer seller, no banker involved. You take over his mortgage. The mortgage company doesn't know who the check's coming from. He actually transfers the deed to you. That's the key idea. You get ownership subject to the underlying mortgage. Many people don't know that can be done. They think it's illegal. It's in the IRS code. It's in the mortgage code, and you can look up subject to sales and get the documents and even a pro forma contract. But I have one of those already in my portfolio of paperwork, and somewhat. I mean, you can't buy a dog, you know. You can't buy like a miserable property. You have to be smart. Not every deal's a deal, right? So anyway, but before you do that, before you go out snooping around or looking at the tax sales or looking at deeds, drive around your county. You can get on the county website, find out the owner of the deed, even if it's a commercial piece of property, go knock on a door. Okay, but if you don't have any money, you're not going to have confidence. I would say preserve your capital. Find as many no money down deals as you can get. And I'm not saying real estate's the only thing. I mean, you could do all kinds of things. We're talking about doing some hard money lending. You and I, some other of my clients, we have cash that I don't want to reveal all of our secrets here, but we're finding a very robust project, and we understand who these people are that are running that project, and they want to borrow some quick money to get a quick turn. We can use our nest of capital to do that. That's another idea, but that takes a little bit of moxie. It takes a little bit of confidence, and you have to understand not everybody that gets in front of you is an honest person. So there's some vetting to be done. Yep. But we're addressing a smaller community, and these are tighter in people. So these are kind of things you do. But let's talk about building up that warehouse. And I want to hand it back to you for a minute to comment on anything I've just said.
Yeah. So, you know, the reason that you can, if you listen to Chuck, you can hear why we resonate. We hold a lot of the same values with family, and we are practicing Christians. So there are a lot of professing Christians.
There you go.
Try to be, We try to be practical and practice and all that good stuff. And that's not a knock on anybody. It's just food for thought. My background, I went to college for business admin with a minor in business admin, minor in finance. And so when I got out, I started at a large investment firm as an intern, and I worked my way up to a junior partner, and I had about 16% equity, and we were managing about $55 million or so between two advisors, and I would do all their portfolio analysis. Well, through that 11-year process and doing portfolio overlap and portfolio analysis that I didn't do from a technical standpoint, we used a service called Morningstar Principia Pro, and we just linked all the accounts, and Principia Pro did all the overlap, made all the pretty. It was a sales tool, y'all. It was a very expensive, fancy sales tool. It ran an algorithm. It showed you all the overlap. But so I'm doing these every day, maybe 10 or 12, maybe 15 a week. I'm prepping for all the appointments, and what I'm seeing here is I'm seeing all this bizarre overlap in these portfolios. I'm seeing things that violate the asset allocation, that are literally anti the asset allocation within the actual fund, within the fund family. So, for example, and I'm just going to pull some names off the top of my head. It's not necessarily just as an illustration, but like, let's say American Large Cap Fund, right? That was like their five-star front runner, and it was great. And this has a large cap asset allocation. And I would see within their top 10 holdings that American Small Cap Fund, which would be like their worst performer, right? And it is in a completely different asset allocation class. And it would be a top 10 holding inside this American large cap. And I would see this over and over and over again. And I'm like, man, this is wrong on so many different levels. And, you know, they spin all this stuff. Like, these are professionally managed. And there are these very complex algorithms that determine all this stuff. Woo. And I'm like, this is shenanigans. This is all really good salesmanship and sales tactics. But so as I, and now, so now I extract myself, you know, I got pushed out and went into contracting and started doing all that stuff and reinvented myself as a, you know, in sales and changed completely different occupations. And now I'm reading a book, right, by Barry James Dyke about the Pirates of Manhattan, right? And he's, and I'm like, this guy's writing like all this stuff that I experienced. Like, this guy's writing books about it. And I and he's written two books. I think the second book's called, I have both, the Pirates of Manhattan 2 or whatever. But you start reading those books and you're like, hey, this guy is like talking about this exact stuff. And so I was completely disenchanted with conventional investing, the stock market, mutual funds, you know, and this is all the kind of stuff that the Dave Ramseys and the Susie Ormans of the world are like, you know, buy term, invest the difference, you know, and mutual funds and index funds and all this stuff, you know, and it's all platitudes and it's all like throwaway kind of advice. And it's very antithetical to my position and where I am now. So when me and Chuck met and we started talking and we started talking about different options for different types of assets, asset classes, and capitalization and tax shelters and all these different things, I'm like, wow, this is really resonating with me. This is what I've been looking for. We've always done great in real estate. And the only problem, and we are currently doing unbelievable in real estate, but the challenge I have with real estate right now is moving forward is making a current investment, right? Because we have artificially high prices. We have very artificially high, we have good interest rates because of the conditions we're in right now. They're very good interest rates, but they don't, it makes net cash flow very difficult. So I am in a position where I want to capitalize. I want to accumulate wealth. I want to shelter it from the man, right? But I want to have access to it. So that's kind of how me and Chuck ended up working together. So Chuck, I'm going to hand it back off to you, and we can start talking about these concepts and these processes, and you can expound more from your side.
Excellent. Excellent. So I want to capitalize on the name of the podcast, Fearless. I want your listenership, our listenership, to grab a hold of that idea of fearlessness. This is a time to kind of buck up, but this is a time first you've got to understand where you are, what's going on around you, and how can you work extra hard to prepare for the future. Like you, I'm standing back. I'm not buying high-priced assets that I can't cash flow positive. Yeah. And in case you didn't know, if you have some older listeners, stacking up $2 million in a pile of a nest egg and then living on 4% of it ain't going to cut it. There's no such thing as traditional retirement. Mm-hmm. If you're not getting cash flowing assets and preparing in later in life, I'm a little bit further down the road than Brother TD here, but that's what I'm working on. I'm just buying stuff that's returning money to me every month. So if I want to take a week at the beach, or if I want to improve something on the house, I have it. You younger guys, you got to be fearless. The world's changing.
Yeah.
You know, like TD, I went to college. I've got a master's degree. I actually have what they call a doctorate, ABD, all but dissertation. I got the end of my doctoral studies, and I said, what am I doing this for?
Right.
So I'm way overeducated. I think today there's a couple of key components. You've got to have a marketable skill or product. But firstly, before that, you got to learn how to sell something and market something. You mentioned marketing. Yeah. And so, you know, we are doing a bit of that today, but I'm talking about how do I reach a specific audience? So that's what we're doing with Protect Your Money Now or Private Family Banking. We're reaching out to the conservative, manly sort of Christian community, at least now. I mean, I'll sell with anybody. I'll work with anybody. But these guys, their eyes are wide open. And some of them are 35 to 45 years old, and they're going, whoa, what do I do now? How do I do this thing? How do I not lose it? I mean, if you had a 401k and it goes down by 40%, you're toast. So you younger guys, you need to get some training. You need to develop your mind and your skill set. You need to be bold enough to make cold calls. You need to be bold enough to meet people. But if you don't have anything to offer, the reverse of that is having a great product, but you don't know how to get it out there, right? Nothing worse. You have a bunch of sunk costs in that great mousetrap, that great product, but you have no audience and you have no sales acumen. And I don't mean, you know, you got to have a coat with watch on one side and bracelets on the other. It's not cheesy stuff. It's understanding human interaction. How do you build confidence? Like with TD, we're both building confidence with one another. And today we're building confidence with you, the audience. We want you to get a hold of us. We're, you know, I'm trying to put together all kinds of projects that need capital. But if you don't have capital and you don't understand how things work. So we do some marketing stuff. I'm kind of working on a whole new product line that we're going to offer. We got two clients and we want to get some real results with that. But how do you get out and use all the social media, get off of the games, quit playing Facebook stupid. And, you know, not that I have used Facebook. Frankly, I haven't had a lot of luck. I understand we do better on Instagram, but whatever. You can play all day long and make little cute videos out at the hamburger shop or at the DQ or, you know, you and your girlfriends running around, you know, whatever, screaming and hollering. That's real cute. Love it. But, you know, some of you guys out there, you got to get off the baby land. You got to get off the boy land and be into the man land. And some of you older guys, it's not too late. I didn't really turn the corner until I was I started in business when I was 46. So I'd already worked for the man for over 20 years. So I had at that time 10 children at home and no money. And I started a business. I did have a great entree. There was a providential gate opening and I ran through it. I ran from corporate life. I hated corporate life. I still do. I've had a couple of intervening 2-year stints here and there to just kind of keep the ball rolling, but I'm very entrepreneurial. The first thing you got to do is you got to understand money flow. So unless you get control of your cash flow, look, everybody does banking in their life. Banking is a verb, not a noun. It's not a place. Yeah. It's not brick and mortar. Yeah. So banking is just the flow of money that's going to naturally come through your life for the rest of your life. The younger you get, the younger you get control of that. So the first thing you're leaving on the table, and I'll turn it back for some comments. The first thing you're leaving on the table by not getting control of the cash flow and the banking function in your life is the opportunity cost of what that money could have earned you if you had a method, and we have a method of setting that money up in a secure, as TD said, he's preparing for war, man. It's a war. This is not fun and games, gentlemen. Ladies, this is a war. Families, married couples, you got to get your head up. First of all, it isn't just about money. You got to know where your soul's going. And once you're confident where your soul's going, your job is to get out there and live life and make something happen to the glory of God. You don't glorify God if you're hunkered down in a basement. You're not helping other people. You're not providing. You're not taking on your responsibility and duty of creating something in the world. And then you can create money for the kingdom and spread the gospel because you have money. Not everybody needs to be on the mission field with no money. In fact, I'd recommend you don't do that without some money. But there's all kinds of ways. So, I mean, I covered a lot of ground, but back to the whole idea. First, you got to get control of the money, and you need a safe place to put it. What do I mean by a safe place? Is somewhere where you're not going to get taxed. It can grow tax-free. You're not going to get sued, and somebody's going to take your nest egg. Some of the, you know, I mean, if any of you around during the O.J. Simpson debacle when he had the white Bronco driving around L.A., you know, he wound up, I don't know whether he killed his wife or he didn't. It's a horrible story. But the reality is the only way he wound up with anything out of that, he had one of these systems we call private family banking. He didn't know it, but he had some whole life insurance. And that was protected from the civil lawsuit. So, you know, that's not praising what he did, but it is praising, you know, the idea that you got to store your money away. A system of thinking, a system of doing and protection. And notwithstanding, you want to get your family to understand how all this works and pass it along. So back to you, TD.
And, you know, this is an important note because those that are uneducated or kind of refuse to educate themselves, they kind of flame out and go a little crazy when they hear whole life insurance and all these things, because they lose sight of the fact that whole life insurance is a vessel. It's an asset. And what we're talking about with private family banking isn't whole life insurance. You know, your banking function and performing that banking function is about currency. It's about money movement. And that is private family banking. It is not the whole life policy. The whole life policy
is just a mechanism.
It's just a vehicle. It's a mechanism that provides a function. And what you do with those tools and that asset are what actually compound and is what actually requires the fearlessness. And I just want to bring up this scripture because this is basically the crux of our talk. And if this wasn't a podcast, I would have amen several times as Chuck was preaching to y'all. So hopefully y'all are listening. And I didn't want to go all spiritual on you, but Proverbs 22:3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." And I'm telling y'all right now, if you want to dance with the beast, right, and you want to dance with the beast system, and you want a 401k, and you want a 200.5, and all that stuff, you know, keep messing around with conventional thinking, conventional assets, and professional management. You know, hey, look, y'all, I worked for a professional financial advisor, CFP, CHFC, CLU, CRPC. Yep. He had every letter of the alphabet, and he paid, and he did all his continuing education. And they triple and quadruple gouge people. They sold A shares. They in wrap accounts with 12B1 fee. They feed people and charge people an annual planning fee, y'all. And this was professional money management. And then some wet behind the ears joker like me was doing all making all the picks and doing all the transactions. Yeah. And you're paying this cat like hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. I'm just telling you, I was on the other side of the curtain. But you need to get the information, right? You need to get the information. You need to read the books. You need to learn the things. You need to understand. This is my big thing. I'm not anti-crypto, but all this blockchain and this wallet and T codes and all this stuff, y'all. And I don't understand it. I'm not going to invest, and I'm not going to use now, in a very small way, take a flyer and a chance on it and different things. Of course, sure.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to put a large majority of my eggs in that basket because I just don't understand it. I'm not going to work with something that I don't understand. And this is what's so powerful about these different tools in our toolbox is they've been around for an incredibly long time, and they've had a phenomenal, fabulous track record, which helps you gain that confidence you need to be fearless. And
absolutely.
That's critical to the system, Chuck.
Well, I think that you make so many good points there, that unconventional thinking, fearlessness, not getting an allergy to something you don't understand. So confidence comes from understanding and learning. So yeah, you need to read the books and you need to be aware of your surroundings. And I just throw it out there. I mean, especially for you younger listeners out there, your younger guys, if you've got an idea and a concept, get a hold of me, get a hold of TD. I'll work with you. We'll figure out whether you have a viable way forward. I'll help you make a plan. You know, if we're going to do any real work in terms of setting up a marketing plan and getting you out there and getting your product launched, we may have to come up with some kind of agreement, but I'll be a sounding board. But I can also help you put that money together out of money you might already have. And you're just giving up so much by the way you're handling your money. So if you don't get your cost line under control, and, you know, I've got clients doing very well that are 25 and 26 years old that are and younger. And I just got a call from a guy 68, a guy 75, man. And they're like wanting to work with me. And it's like at 75, I could do something with him. But, you know, here's a guy, he's got $100,000 a year income and skill at 75 years old, but he doesn't have any know-how. He doesn't understand money. So I'm working with him. So we're helping people from all walks of life. I have a lot of pastors. I have married couples, single guys that are preparing for marriage. But you got to figure out how to monetize your idea in a fair way. It's not just like playing internet games. You know, if you have a real value, and if you aren't convinced, two things. If you're not convinced of what you're doing to bring in revenue, and you're not convinced that you understand how to handle that revenue, which is what we're here for today, you need to get a hold of us. Private Family Banking. The best way to get me is protectyourmoneynow.net, and on there will be my calendar and a way to download my free book. You get a free PDF, and then schedule. There's a link on there to schedule my calendar. So, and then I'll take you through the whole process of thinking. First of all, you have to set up, you have to find some money to put in every month. That's good savings discipline, right? You're going to get, as TD mentioned, this is based on a whole life policy, but totally non-typical. This is not a lot of agents do this. There are some guys out there, you can search the internet. We want to work with this audience. We want to work with our relational capital here, if you will, and help you be successful. So you capitalize this account maybe with an inflow of some savings. You do get the death benefit, which comes with every life insurance policy. Mm-hmm. You get a contract. You're under contract. You're a shareholder, if you will, a policyholder. It's not a shareholder in the strictest sense, but you're a co-owner in a company where you get a dividend. You have a guaranteed return, never to lose. And if you want to go out and take a flyer, as TD said, if you don't know what that means, you know, if you're going to take a little lark of a little, oh, I think I'll go try this. I'll go buy a Corvette and flip it or whatever, you know, maybe in the investment world, you're going to buy a penny stock, whether I don't suggest that. I'm not a crypto guy. I'm certainly not a Bitcoin guy. I don't put my money in anything I don't understand. That's a Warren Buffettism. Not that I want to glorify Warren Buffett, but I think he's done pretty good as the last time I checked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that guy doesn't play games, and he's always, you know, where's your performance? And so if you've ever taken a full commission sales job, you'll find out what you're made out of, because,
that's right.
Because, you know, and that doesn't mean you don't need to do tricks and lies. If you lie, you got a moral problem. You don't have a good product. If you don't believe enough in what you do, do something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit there and waste time. Get into something that you can get excited about. People read that in your body language. People right away, they're going to, in 7 seconds, people can tell whether you're a shammer or whatever they call it, you know, a scammer or whatever. You know, you're going to feel better about life. You're going to get up earlier. By the way, you know, for what it's worth, I'm turning 70 on Monday. I have three different businesses and two jobs right now. One's a W-2 that I'm trying to get rid of because my entrepreneurial spirit says, all right, I'm done with that. But I took it because it was local and I was able to work 2 years at home during COVID. What there's not to like, right? But I'm getting tired of the drive and getting tired of the, you know, working for the man, if you will. So I'm building these businesses up and we're on an accelerated curve. We're on the growth curve. We're on the wealth curve. That's what we want to do is get you on the wealth curve. So, you know, I just had a call today, 38-year-old single woman. She's in the healthcare field. She saved up $100,000. She doesn't know what to do with it. She's fearful, right? And I talked to her in one meeting and sending her a PDF of my book. She sent me a glowing email back. She said it was an answer to prayer. She had total confidence that we were on the right track. She called me again today. We got a policy set up for her, which she's got to get, you know, her health part of it qualified. She's healthy at 38. Yep. She's got elderly parents she wants to take care of. She wants to go back to school for a PhD. She's going to rent an apartment out of her policy to go over to the school. She's going to pay for her PhD. She's going to buy a new car. She said, well, I never thought about this. I got all this money sitting over here. It's earning nothing. And she's subjecting some of it to market risk. Get out of the stock market. You don't belong in there. Pirates of Manhattan, our guy Barry Dyke, get the book. It'll turn your head around. It's crooked as ever. If you're not an insider, you're not going to win. You may win temporarily. And yeah, you got your friends, a few guys that have done well. I got a friend that worked for me that he was, you know, he had saved up $2 million, but $2 million doesn't retire you. You need $4 to $5 million if you're going to do that 4% rule draw. And right now they're saying you can really only withdraw 1.6 to 2% because you'll liquefy your savings before you retire, before you die, rather. And you older guys, you guys that are in your 50s, like I had a 49-year-old on the phone today. He's putting in $100,000, getting his policy set up. He's going to buy one on his wife and one of his kids. Why? The guy's net worth is $4.5 million, but he doesn't have cash flowing assets. It's all tied up in land, and he's wealthy. Mm-hmm. He's land wealthy. So he realizes he needs some liquidity, right? It's all about moving money. Back to TD, I'll hand it back to you, but you hit the key. It's money movement, and cash flow is money movement. Cash flow, cash is not king. Cash is trash, man. It's cash flow is king. Cash flowing assets even better, and things that you can get to. Like you people that have $1 million in equity in your home, how's that working for you? You can sit home at 70 years old like me, and if I had a house that was paid off but no cash flow, where am I going with that? I'm going to not buy a new car. I'm going to wear my old suit coat with the wide lapels and a big tie or something going down, you know, having an ice cream cone because that's all I can afford. That's not where you want to be, man. That's not where you want to be. So anyway.
And we're in a different world. You know, before, if you were cash heavy in your asset, like your house, you get a HELOC for 2.5% and you can like be peeling assets out of there. And hey, it's a different game, y'all. HELOCs are like 13%.
13, yeah, they're high. They're really high, man.
Yeah. And so it's a different world. So you try, fail, adjust. You have to. And, you know, what we're talking about is capitalizing, collecting capital. Because when you have capital, now here is a truth. Right. Because I'm going to teach
you
a truth.
That's right. Go ahead.
Yep. If you have capital, the opportunities will find you. And the key to this system, concept, idea, and thought process isn't a product. It isn't a thing. It is a concept of currency, cash flow, system. And as that cash moves, that's when the compounding return on investment happens. Right. It's but you have to have capital. You have to be capitalized. You have to be accumulating capital. And then once you have that capital, the opportunities will present themselves. And the big thing, you know, we have a lot of preppers and we're kind of preppers. And I was talking to Billy Bonds over at Permaculture Pimpcast, and we were talking about preparedness. And one of the things that I think gets lost a lot when discussing being prepared is success is when preparedness and opportunity meet.
Right.
So when you are prepared and you are capitalized, the opportunities will present themselves. I'll give you a quick illustration. Mm-hmm. So two of the three properties that we have purchased in the last 5 years were not on the market.
Yep.
Right. And so we were, and everybody's like, well, how do you buy property? And so the first two properties we bought well well under the current market value. And how do you do that? Well, you approach the person that you hear may want to sell the property. You offer them a cash offer direct, and then you're not paying any realtor fees. You're paying very little closing costs. And the last two, now the very last property we bought at the peak of the market, with the proceeds from another great opportunity. So we were literally able to buy a $150,000 property for roughly $30,000 is what it cost us out of pocket. And we own it. We own it outright. And it cost us $30,000. And,
awesome.
You know, we did that at the peak of the market and paid $10,000 an acre. And that is just the opportunity meeting the capitalization. Yep. And when those two come together, now here's the thing, Chuck. Oh yeah, but it was only $30,000. Well, I just bought a $150,000 property. What's my rate of return? Yeah. What's my return on investment?
Right.
You know, and people can be all like, oh, whole life, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, what is a return on $30,000 when you buy a $150,000 property?
Right. Yeah. Well, manifold, 300%, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. 500%. So, you know, it's just like, you know, drive around. So you want to find, kind of switch it here to commercial property, drive around and find the properties that are owned by older people. Because I can tell you, I'm working on buy sell agreement. I just did a fabulous presentation yesterday about leveraging buy sell things with businesses and how we're working that with owners. And my guy Rocky was in town. We did a collaborative presentation yesterday to a bunch of people that are called exit planners, and they help people exit their business. Mm-hmm. And an exit planner, what he's trying to do is marry a buyer and a seller, right? Marriage, it has to be a win-win.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is right now with interest being, you mentioned it, interest rates going up, people and money's tightening. So you got to find a way to either sell or finance, and not everybody wants to do that. I've done those two. Or you got to find a way to have a leveling of the playing field where you come up with a little bit of equity and then the seller stays on for a while. We have a way to work that out to where the seller wins. He gets out of the day-to-day. The buyer wins. He has to put less money into it. But you can find some of these, like go to some of these older storage areas, the self-storage. My wife has invested in self-storage, but some of the newer ones. But you can go to these older places. They're usually owned by an older couple. They've been living off the cash flow forever, but they want to move to Florida and they're tired of dealing with the tenants. The place needs rehab. So you go in and say, look, I'm going to buy this project subject to the underlying mortgage. I'm going to put $50,000 in escrow to show you the confidence that I know I can paint this, fix it, up the rents. And I'm going to make this into another business for myself. Are you ready to go? And I go, take it over, man. Put the 50. I just want to see your escrow account to know you're going to do that. And I'll make the payments on your mortgage. They say, bump, bump, good. You write it up. You make a promissory note or whatever. You put, you know, the right legal language in there. You sign title and away you go. Some of those places may have been over mortgaged. Some of these people use those properties to get money to live on, and they may not be the best deal. But that's just another idea of opportunities that are going to be out there where people want to move on. And that doesn't mean you have to have a bad market. That happens all the time. But as prices start to come down in certain markets, maybe you go out to Missouri somewhere and you find one of these places and you know you could up the rents by 30%. And the owner's not going to do it because he's there. He's never done it. He knows some of the people. It'd go bad for him. He would feel bad. Well, you're the new guy on the block. You up the rents. People say, I'm out of here. They leave. You're going to rent it at the new price. Have you ever found a storage place that's not rented? I don't think we're saturated yet.
Not in Texas, man.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but they're all rented. And if you ever rented a climate-controlled storage area, now I'm not suggesting you're going to have the money to buy one of those. Those are going to be really pricey, but you can get tremendous rents. Yeah. But I'm talking about these older ones. Go out in the country. Go out and find a guy. Like there's one over here off the I-10 that I saw. That place has got to be old by some old-timer. And you just need to find out who's who and what's what. And you need to get them, you need to understand what somebody's problem is. And if you can solve a problem, and that's what goes back to my idea of marketing and sales. If you don't understand, we're trying to solve your problem. You are in a different world. You got to be fearless and step up and quit letting the man have your money. You need to get out of the banks. You need to create your own private banking system and you need to capitalize. And I mean now. And now's the time. So You know, I don't know how much further we want to go, TD, but they can certainly call us, make an appointment. They want to get a hold of you. You send it to me. We work together. And I'm glad to talk with anybody about any situation they have. But I'm not a miracle worker. You have to man up. You have to get engaged, right? And I can show you how.
What's just as powerful, right, is not just the tools that we have in our toolbox, but the network of people.
Yeah.
You know, and there's plenty of illustrations that we can illustrate how this process and how these tools function and rate of return and all these things. So this is a proven model. It's a proven system with experienced people that know what they're doing. And, you know, knowledge is power. And what's greater, the reason they sell books, y'all. Okay, here's a tip. The reason they sell books is because you can buy somebody else's knowledge.
Right, right.
And you don't have to know it all.
You don't have to know it all. There's no way. I'm appealing to all kinds of people for help all the time. But I have to have an idea in mind. What are my good, you know, I have to know what questions to ask. That's important.
Yep, thinking. That's right.
But, you know,
you have to have the counsel and the resources, right, to like, oh, wow, well, what do I do now? Like, I've never experienced this. And let me talk to somebody that's been there, done that. And they're like, oh, yeah, I've done that 3 times. You do have to do this. You do it like that. Yeah. You structure it like this. Boom, bang. And I mean, how valuable is that?
Oh, it's huge.
There's an incredible amount
of value. You can't buy it. Yeah. Back to your point about, TD, you mentioned the idea of capitalizing and the idea of kind of being fearless. You got to get a plan. You know, you can't just go day to day. Oh, ain't it awful, right? Mm-hmm. Ain't it awful? Mm-hmm. Doesn't do anything for you. You need to rise up above. Hey, if you were to get on it in COVID or in the 08 crash, you could have been a multimillionaire now, right? I mean, there was people that were in the weeds waiting with capital. And they pounced on it. They bought up properties like crazy after the 08 crash. So there'll be other opportunities out there. But
that's coming again. That opportunity and that opportunity, it's going to be 100-fold.
I think so. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know what it was I was going to say. You mentioned earlier about having capital attracts opportunity. You know, you and I have a call later on with some people, and the only way we're talking to them is they know we have capital. And they got an opportunity. We don't know whether it's an opportunity we want to get involved in, but they're looking for somebody to help them. And we're in the driver's seat to say yes or no, right? And so that's what TD's talking about is that opportunity found him. He's not out shopping. Yep. You don't have to shop for opportunities. They will come your way. And if you're involved in a local, like I am, a local rural community, and you know people, the deals will come up. As you said, before they go on the market, you don't want to buy something off of realtor.com. That's got all kind of markup in it. And besides that, the investors, the big guys have already picked through the good stuff. You're buying the residues. So when it comes to real estate, but this is not only about real estate, but it is a good asset class. But there are other things you can do. You know, if you're going to get into Bitcoin and crypto, maybe do that as your side thing. But I'm not, I'm not real keen on that. As far as where the digital currency is going and all that, I mean, we're all going to have to live with whatever the powers that be. You know, they're trying to put Trump in jail. You know, they may try to knock him. I don't know what they're going to do to stop him.
Nobody knows.
And, you know, they're so whipped up. These liberal Nazi communist weirdos, they're going to do whatever they have to do. Look at what they're trying to do to the guy. I know they're not going to beat him down emotionally. They're going to try to drain him capital-wise. But he's got quite a bit of money and he's got a lot of backers. So I'm not saying that, you know, he's my favorite, but he's better than what we got. And, you know, we could probably do better in some moralistic ways. But I got to tell you what, these people are desperate. And so we need to be as desperate the other way. Desperate times call for radical, fearless podcast. That's what we got to be.
I love it. I love it. Well, I think that's a great way to close out. So
amen.
I want to thank you, Chuck, for your time and for the wisdom and the knowledge that you are sharing with us. And hey, y'all, if you appreciate the information that we put out, please go over to thetexasboys.com and check us out over there, whether it's honey, coffee, or merch. If you are local and looking for beef or pork, check us out. We are still selling beef and pork next month, and that's been going great, and we appreciate y'all. Check out protectyourmoneynow.net. Yep. And if you are interested in more information, get with Chuck. You can get his PDF and we will get you more information. But with that, any closing thoughts before we sign off, Chuck?
Well, I think first and foremost, man, is there life after death? Do you believe that or not? Do you believe in annihilation, or do you believe that you're a spirit, that you're not just a body, that you have a soul, and that is going to live on eternally, and you're going to get a new body in the new heavens and the new earth? That's the most important question of life. Who are you? If you're not in Jesus Christ, you're in deep weeds, man. You're in more than deep weeds. You're in eternal punishment. You don't want that. Get right with Christ. Pray that he will work on your heart to repent and own up to the fact that we're all sinners. I'm a sinner more than I'd like to even think about, but I also have a Savior. And I glorify that I'm going to be transformed. And this is not all there is. It isn't all about success in this life. But we have a responsibility as Christians to do right and be right and to prosper for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm all about.
Well, Chuck just said it all, y'all. We're going to sign off. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you on the... Remember, stay fearless, my friends.
All right.